Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Chris,
Dan,
and Lee.
Straight into the news this week.
Straight into the news.
Because, well, that's mainly what's been happening. News.
Not a lot of it.
No, that's true, actually. First thing is that, according to the BBC, Red Bull can push Mercedes this season.
Apparently Red Bull have a really good aerodynamic package, which everybody already knows. Their aerodynamicists have probably the main reason behind their four world championships that they'd had with Sebastian Vettel and Mark Webber together.
Oh, an Edrian Newey designed car being aerodynamic, who'd have thought?
I know, yeah.
And fast.
yeah, they didn't have the best engine then, but the main sort of school of thought is that there's an awful lot more power to release in that TAG engine, Renault engine, whatever you want to call it. They've got an awful lot more tokens left. They've got power in the back. They haven't even turned it all the way up yet this year, apparently. There's mumblings that they could upset Mercedes' dominance of the last couple of years and go and win a few races even before the season, mid-season break.
I think we'll see Ferrari winning races before we see Red Bull winning races.
You think?
I think so, yeah.
Are we going to see Danny Ric improving from fourth?
That's
to get that
possible.
Car to fourth has been pretty astronomical,
yeah.
To be quite honest with you.
I mean, well, two in the top four in China.
Yep.
So, it would be interesting to see, and, well, as the official line from Formula One is, anything that stops Mercedes is good, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah. Do we believe it?
We'll see.
About as much as we believe Lucas Degrassi.
I think so.
Nice segue there that I had to do. Lucas Degrassi, right, to cut a long story short, Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel would struggle in Formula E, says that well-known F1 success story.
Yeah, the man who drove in a season for Marussia Formula 1 team.
Yeah.
Lucas Degrassi. And then went to become Pirelli's test driver before Formula E was a thing. Now Formula E's a thing. Man who wasn't good at Formula 1 is good at something else, says that everybody else would not be good at what he's good at.
Well, it's proven, isn't it, in Formula E, that if you get a relatively good Formula 1 driver, he struggles in his first race. You know, he doesn't go out and get pole position and then should win his first race in Formula E, apart from the fact his car breaks down, because that didn't happen to Jean-Éric Vergne
No, Jean-Éric Vergne, he won the championship, didn't actually compete in the whole season.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get Jacques Villeneuve, who
did a race,
Didn't finish it. Ended up with less bits on the car than he started with, shall we say, to put it mildly. Is Lucas Degrassi talking a load of crap?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, because... And here's why.
He qualified what he said later.
By qualified, you mean backtracked.
Yeah.
Backpedaled like a bitch.
Yeah. We'll give that story about as much credence as it deserves. None. The fact that, as I did point out to somebody on Twitter yesterday, three of us actually forgot there was a Formula E race this weekend, and even the sponsors are spoiling it.
The only email I got telling me there was a Formula E race was from Visa, as I seem to be on their mailing list, saying, don't bother watching it, this is the result.
Which would be great if you... happened to have recorded the race and wanted to watch it later on.
Yeah. Does anyone do that?
Not anymore, I don't think. It was a thing.
I accidentally found it on the telly on Sunday, on the rerun.
Yeah.
I watched it from the pit stop.
Yeah.
It wasn't a bad race, was it?
No, it's just a bit flat, isn't it? The whole thing, even when it's exciting, it's just a bit flat.
Can we cut this one there, because I just promised somebody on Twitter we wouldn't talk about Formula E this week, and we're veering nearly into talking about Formula E.
Talking about it, so unfucking lucky.
Yeah, well, we're done now. Rosberg, contract negotiations.
Yeah, well, a couple of years ago we had the relaxed Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton contract negotiations where both sides were almost Bob Marley-ing it to levels of... relaxation. It's fine, don't worry about it, we'll all sign the contract, everybody will be
alright.
Bob Marley-ing
it. As in Colombian marching powdering it.
Yeah.
Colombian marching powder. Bob Marley is smokable things, isn't it?
No, relaxed. Fucking Bob Marley's Charlie, innit?
You've gone from Manx to Manx.
Com-
complete with Cockney rhyming slang.
The point I was trying to make was it was so laid back when it came to contract negotiations that they, I think Mercedes signed their contract, handed it to Lewis Hamilton, and he spent the best part of 8 months just making sure it was written properly before he signed it.
Need to fill that form in.
Yeah, I need to get that form back to you, don't I? Yes, Lewis, you need to get that form back to us.
Oh, sorry, I didn't bring it to this particular party.
Yeah, I didn't. I left it at Kim Kardashian's house.
We're overshadowing talk of Nico Rosberg again. Hamilton. When did we become the F1 version of Heat magazine?
But this is
about show number 3. Yeah, and we're on show number 50 now.
So, Brittany Rosberg has basically started contract negotiations with Mercedes, and both sides are, unsurprisingly, very relaxed about the contract negotiations.
I think the sticking point is going to be he wants a new pram full of toys, because he has previously chucked them all out.
Yeah, yes, all of his toys have been thrown out of the pram.
If the negotiations were as relaxed as the Formula One negotiations are always supposed to be, it must be a strange place. You know, just like a couple of big couches and two people lying down on them. You're right. Do you want to talk yet? Nah, not yet. Sound in it?
Yeah, but unless you're Ron Dennis, step into my office.
Oh yeah, he never ever had a relaxed negotiation.
Yeah, the pen to sign the contract hanging above the shark tank.
Yeah.
The ones with lasers, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Pens with lasers.
Sharks?
Oh, good lord.
I've got a pen with a laser pointer on the end. I use it to tease me cats.
I had one. I gaffer taped it to a shark's nose.
And sold it to Ron Dennis.
He's going to sign, isn't he? They're going to keep him on.
Probably, yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see Hamilton Rosberg in the Mercedes for quite some time, unless something very dramatic changes or happens in the
next. As long as the two of them working together makes the team a success, then yeah, keep them both.
Mm.
Last year it looked like tensions between them were going to cause problems.
Do you not think that given the team's position and where they are, that If we think that Mercedes are going to roll on into next year, and even if it does bunch up a bit, whatever the new rules are, they can go. You know, they're going to be one of the front running teams. You know, you've got Lewis Hamilton in the team, where I think it's no fault of his own he's behind. In the points at the minute. You know, you've got a man that can deliver you world championships, but in the same respect, you want to be looking towards the future. Do you not think there's a chance Pascal Wehrlein might get Rosberg's seat? Because he's been very impressive in the manner.
He has, but how do you kick a world champion out of the team? Say Nico goes on to win the world championship. Thanks, Nico, for that world championship that we fought really hard for you for.
Mercedes have never done that before, have they?
Yeah, no, exactly. I brought this up last week. That they didn't, you know, Jensen wasn't German enough for them.
No, he wasn't.
So I can see it. I can see them with or without a world championship. I can see them not renewing his contract.
I don't think Lewis Hamilton's very German though either.
I think they dropped that when it didn't fucking work.
He's a citizen of the world.
Citizen of the world, global citizen.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Or something.
Ironically, it makes me hate the human fucking race sometimes.
Talking of next season, the latest deadline for deciding on what the regs are going to be.
Is it in Geneva again?
Probably will be, or at Bernie's Biggin Hill.
Bernie Eccleston's Biggin Hill compound?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's at one of those two places.
I don't think he's big anywhere.
Oh, come for the news, stay for the jokes. the extended deadline is coming up at the end of this week on the 30th. This is the deadline that they extended from February 29th. The aero regulations apparently are very close, but nobody's got a sodding clue what the engines are going to be.
Which is interesting, because
a little bit vital.
Yeah, completely vital, because they really need to crack on with getting these engines developed. It was the 2014 regs were 2 years in the making, whereas the 2017 regs, I think,
Are they still pushing? Some of the teams still pushing for the bi-turbo V6.
Possibly not power units. As publicly as they were before.
It's not going to happen. That
so the engine regs are going to be very similar to how they are now. Then,
am I right in thinking that one of the sticking points is closing the performance gap between the best and the worst engines?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So does that mean more tokens for less well-performing
engines?
There's
no tokens from next year.
There's no tokens. I think it's either going to be...
There's no tokens at the moment.
It's
a meeting with Bernie Eccleston we're talking about here.
Yeah.
No, the token thing will be gone.
Anything can happen in meetings with Bernie Eccleston.
And it usually does. It's either going to be a complete freeze on engine development for the whole year, or, okay, you've got your engine, but do what the hell you want with it.
Yeah. Which I think should be the latter, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I do.
It's a common gripe. F1 is meant to be the pinnacle of motorsport.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's meant to be the pinnacle of motor engineering.
It's fixed now, though. It's fixed now anyway, because with the budget cap on what manufacturers can charge the teams per power unit, it doesn't matter. The whole idea of the point of the token system was to stop manufacturers pumping billions into developing engines,
which they did anyway.
Yeah, and then charging the teams massive amounts of money to try and recoup some of their spending. So now that the engines are capped, then they can spend as much money as they want. You know, let's face it, Mercedes, Renault, a Honda, they're not short of a few quid. Those companies can afford to develop the engines.
Well, Honda have left Formula One before going with McLaren going at the end of 92 season. By the way, see you later. This global recession, we're going to concentrate on selling road cars now.
Yeah.
Mm.
But, you know, it's Force India that can't afford to buy the engines more than it is Ferrari can't afford to develop, to build
their engine.
Mm.
Yeah. So it'll be grand.
Then of course, there's a rule that all customer teams must have the same engine with the same development, so that's going to give a bit more of a performance boost to Toro Rosso.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they stay with Ferrari, they'll of course have the 2017 Ferrari.
Yeah.
Rather than
the
2015 one, yeah. Which you'd think development is going to be either stopped or minimal.
Mm. I think there should be a single spec engine. You know, for if you've signed a contract with Ferrari,
yeah.
You should get the full Ferrari
engine, yeah. And here are the developments. You can choose whether to use them or not.
Yeah. No, I don't think there should be a choice. But I think it should be, if the engine's upgraded, then all the engines are upgraded.
Yeah.
So that's. I mean, let's face it. There's so much that's done with software and stuff like that now. Anyway, there's enough gap in the software for manufacturer teams to not worry about. Given Selber a fucking decent engine.
Yeah, fair point. While we're on the subject of money and being skint, the Rio Haramza...
I don't want to talk about my financial affairs on the podcast.
Well, you had to empty all your change out of the port last week to get yourself a new microphone stand.
You say change, I say life savings.
Well, I say get yourself a new microphone stand. You didn't buy a new microphone stand with all the change. You just got the pot, turned it upside down, and put your microphone on it.
Yeah.
And it works.
There you go, man.
MacGyvered the fuck out of it.
But on the subject of small change, the Rio Haryanto crowdfunding at 25p a time. No figures have been released yet.
No.
In fact, quite the opposite. Figures have specifically not been released.
Yeah.
It means one of two things. It means he hasn't earned enough money, or he's got enough money out of the country that he's going to buy a stake in Formula One.
Well, no, his manager and mother says that...
hang on,
that is the same person.
The same person, isn't yes. it? Yeah.
His mummager.
His mummager.
Whoa, is that real?
Yeah, his manager is his mum. We were talking about this before.
Was I watching the snooker?
Yes. Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Well, no.
Oh, well.
Hopefully he's not.
Well, it all seems very close. Yeah. The hills have Haryantos.
Come on, right, back into the...
He's not the only Formula One driver to have had their parent as a manager.
Lewis Hamilton.
I thought every Formula One driver's had Lewis Hamilton's dad as a manager.
Yeah, I think it was
Paul de Resta.
But yes, according to his manager and mother,
Still the same person.
Stop laughing when I say that. They're going to get the major mobile networks in Indonesia to text everyone.
Is this from
asking
his manager
them to reply
lover,
to the text?
Manager, mother, and lover.
Don't make me play some Jacques Villeneuve to calm you down.
I'm giving up here.
So I can't.
I'm going to stop talking about Formula One. Yeah. You're talk about
I didn't even know if we'd started. So yes, the statement from the Harry Anto side of things camp is that the mobile networks in Indonesia are going to send a text to every user and get them to reply to the text, which will raise the 5,000. I can't remember what it was called. Roofies or something?
Roofies?
Not roofies, Chris. We've already lost Lee once tonight. The equivalent of 25p, basically.
Rio Harry Anthony's 5,000 roofies.
And a week with his mum.
Oh, we are going to get sued one of these days. But yeah, then it's
But not today.
We'll start a crowdfunding campaign by text.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, they need 13 million text messages for him to raise the 4.2 million euros that his sponsorship has come up short. And I still think that's one hell of an ask.
It is. 13 million text messages is ridiculous, but who knows what people in Indonesia are like with their phones. So.
Well, maybe if the entire population of Indonesia is... I've already started this and I'm going to regret the look on Lee's face when I say it. If the majority of the population of Indonesia is 13-year-old girls, then 13 million text messages is about a week's worth on average.
And that's what they need the roofies for.
I knew that was coming.
Can we bleep out this whole segment?
Yeah, I'm giving him a 5-place podcast penalty. I was going to move on to your voice in F1, but we've heard your voice in F1 today, Lee.
Yeah, the hashtag your voice in F1, where people interact with us and want, let us know what they want to see in Formula 1. We need more.
We've had a few tweets coming in and a few emails. Keep it up, and we are gradually putting the list together.
I've had a chunk of people add me on Twitter as well, and if you add me on Twitter through the podcast, like speak to me and say, "Hi, I've added you because I listened to your podcast. It's really good." Because not only will it make me feel really good about myself, it means that I don't just think it's a random idiot following me. At least I know where the idiots come from. It's a specific idiot.
You're not doing very well tonight, Lee, are you?
You're only upset because Ronnie O'Sullivan lost.
I'm pretty upset about it, yeah. Pretty good, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, we're recording a little bit later than normal because we had to delay talking about one of the fastest sports in the world for snooker, which is one of the slowest. And Lee only does two sports.
The slowest and the fastest.
Well, we're on the subject of your voice in F1.
It's like my life.
And one thing that we do want changing is F1 to get on board with the whole concept of there being a social media.
Yeah.
Last night, as we're recording tonight on the Monday, last night's IndyCar race in Alabama.
Beautiful circuit.
Absolutely fantastic circuit. But while I was watching the race, I also had an eye on Twitter, and the official IndyCar Twitter account just leaves Formula One standing. They have one. They use it for starters.
Well, yeah, it's not just Craig Scarborough posting a photo up or a screen grab of the world feed every now and again with some words underneath it.
Who's that? Is that the Scottish guy?
No, Craig Scarborough's he's a.
Oh, it's Craig Slater. I'm thinking about, isn't it? Just for the record, if you listen to this podcast, you're a.
Don't say it, baby.
IndyCar social media, the IndyCar Twitter feed.
You get live up to the minute video highlights. You get tweets from race control all the way through the race. If there's a good pass or there's any kind of incident like the car spinning before the green flag at the start yesterday, within 30 seconds the highlights were actually up on Twitter, and there's no geographical restrictions as to where you can watch it, even though in the UK we have to, it's on a pay channel.
Yeah.
I don't know how it is in the US with NBC Sports Network. But I just...
It's about being inclusive. trying to get fans into the sport.
This is what we're saying. Yeah,
it'll never work.
Yeah, and things like during the coverage as well, showing tweets from the teams, because all the teams are tweeting, which they do in Formula One, admittedly.
Yeah, they do.
But actually showing it as part of the coverage on the world feed and explaining what it was on the American commentary. And for the first time last night, the British coverage was done by BT Sport, as it usually is, but they had a couple of UK commentators watching the race, explaining things and interacting with fans as well. Sod Sky, give BT Sport F1 if they can do things like that.
I tell you what I noticed the other day, speaking about social media and Formula 1.
Is there any swearing in this?
No.
It's Lee, of course there is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not yet. But McLaren have got an their Twitter thing, and you can become a McLaren team member.
Yeah.
You pay X amount and they give you a bag and a card.
McLaren fan club based out of Bradford.
Yeah.
Yeah, I nearly applied for a job there a few years ago.
Now, their social media thing, they do competitions on it where they put like McLaren quizzes out, and they state on the bottom of the quiz that you're only entered in it if you're like a team member. And I just think it's like, so it's I can't enter your competition. Yeah, because
I heard you not swearing.
I think everyone did.
Yeah, I can't enter your competition because I'm not willing to give you money. Your free competition, I can't enter it because I'm not paying you any money.
Yeah, this is welcome to the world of Ron Dennis.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe the teams need to get a grip on social media a bit better.
No, it's not so much the teams, I don't
think. Or the fan clubs, or the organisers.
It's, yeah, just, Formula One as an entity just needs to sort of get their heads together and be like, look at what these guys are doing, that works, let's do what they're doing, or let's do something similar to what they're doing.
Do you think it's because it's in too much of a bubble?
Yeah, possibly, yeah. I mean, I can't believe the restrictions that have been placed on social media in paddock areas, in certain parts of the grandstand.
On drivers.
Yeah, I mean, come on, right? They just don't get it. It's just because they think that they're not making money out of content that's being broadcast and that they don't have control over. It's not that. It's reaching. It's the reach that the drivers, the mechanics, the fans, the reach that they have, the amount of people they get to. It's taken 20-something years for a different angle of the Ayrton Senna fatal incident to come out. You can not want to particularly watch it on YouTube, but it is available on YouTube now. But imagine if that had been available to watch at the time for the investigative purposes.
Yeah.
It would have been, it would have been like, okay, well, here's another angle of the accident. What does this teach us from this?
Yeah.
From this, and there have been public investigations on like what we have now, like 24-hour sports news channels and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It gets people involved in the sport, whether it's positive or negative. Social media gets people involved in the sport.
Yeah,
and surely the idea of wanting immediate cash from fans is absolutely wrong, because that will put people off from watching it from the start. You can acquire a fan and they may not pay you anything at first, but if you've got a fan for a long term, rather than them paying their £20 a month for a year to watch the races, they might then buy, if they're a fan and they're getting something for free, then they'll spend a damn sight more than £20 a month if they come to a race.
Yeah,
oh, if it's attractive to them.
Well, if they come to a race. I mean, they might watch a season and be like, I like the way that Felipe Nasr guy, I like the way he drives, and I like his personality. He's got, I'm going to buy a Felipe Nasr t-shirt.
Yeah.
And open an account at Banco de Brasilia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I should, for some reason, I can't quite put my finger on why.
I remember a quiz years ago in F1 Racing magazine. And it was like, how much of a Formula One obsessive are you? And one of the one question that sticks in my mind 20 years on is, have you ever bought Parmalat milk on holiday just because of Niki Lauda's hat?
Never.
I have.
Is it milk?
What?
It was on sale in Bulgaria.
I assumed it was oil.
No, it was milk.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Parmalat milk. Dairy product. Lat. As in latte.
Oh, right.
No, they're an
Italian... From Parma?
From Parma. They're an Italian dairy
Palmer milk? Is it like really thin?
And violet flavoured.
Yeah.
We'll move swiftly on.
Sorry, just before we move on, I was just going to say before, what Formula One doesn't seem to understand is the fact that through social media they can give their fans an easier window into the sport to understand it.
That's it.
Because there's obviously a market for it if there's thousands of people a week willing to sit there and listen to us talk about Formula One.
Yeah,
we understand that. We understand that there's enough people out there to warrant us doing it.
It's because
Formula One don't know that, and that's ridiculous.
It's because the sport is run by dinosaurs who don't understand it.
Mm.
There you go, I said it.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it can go too much the other way, because the other way you get Formula E, don't you? And you've got bloody
fan boost.
You've got fan boost, and you've got two fucking mice playing dance music through the race.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Dan, you've come very quiet. You're usually the Formula E defender.
Yeah, I love the mice.
I'm not going to defend...
Can't talk too much about Formula E, remember?
Yeah.
So.
I'm not going to defend the mice or fan boost, but at least their attempts to get... To reach out to non-traditional audiences.
Yeah, I mean, what Formula E's doing is a different situation to what Formula One's doing, because they're trying to launch themselves in as big a way possible, and they're just using, like, a scattergun approach.
Yeah.
And the more they put out, the more chance there is, you know, the more mud you throw at a wall, the more's going to stick.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately, when they bring the gun out, people scatter.
Russian Grand Prix, then. This weekend.
It is.
Yes. And of course, a moment's reflection for the anniversary of the Putin parade.
Well, it technically isn't.
Well, no, but it was invented in the Russian Grand Prix.
It was, yeah. But it's only, what was it, October in 2014? It was like October last year, and now it doesn't appear to have been that long since the race was there, when Sainz had his brake failure.
Yeah.
And it's the fourth race of the season this year, rather than being right at the back end. So, start of the European season is now in Russia.
Well, the European Grand Prix, we'll not go there again.
No.
No, we have to later on in the year.
Sochi, generally a boring processional race. Last year, bit of an exception to that. This year, probably going to be a boring professional race.
Professional race.
Yeah, I mean, the first year we had Rosberg, flat spotted his tyres at that first corner.
Yeah.
And then I had to take a pit stop and go all the way through to the end of the race on one set of tyres that you stopped for at the end of lap one. That was about the only interesting thing that happened in that first Russian Grand Prix. Well, like you say, last year there was an awful lot going on. You had Carlos Sainz and his brake failures and that. And there was a bit of racing going on.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to know. And the GP2 races haven't been bad at Sochi.
Mm.
But so it's difficult to know what kind of race we're going to get, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, China's been criticised in the past for being a little bit on the dull side, and it was anything but.
Yeah, so it was just, it's... I feel bad when we do a preview and I say, oh, it's really hard to predict, but it's true. It is really hard to predict.
I think the other thing we've got to think is, especially with China being a good race, is the third tyre seems to be the turkey for making everything interesting.
Yeah,
it opens up more strategies.
Yeah, especially, have you seen some of the tyre choices?
Yeah.
There's some extreme...
Was it
like
Red Bull and Haas have gone for 10
super softs. Yeah.
What was it, 10 super softs, 2 softs and 1 medium?
1 medium, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got Manor out the other side with, I think they've gone for 3 or 4 sets of mediums.
Yeah. Well, they might do what Rosberg did that first year and just poodle around and do the whole race on one set of tyres.
Yeah, yeah. See if there's enough incidents to get them a point somewhere.
Yeah it's. I mean, the strategies have completely changed. I mean, it's good that we're actually going to be talking about the first race of the season, where the tyre strategy is back to how it was pre-season before qualifying got fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is kind of really the first weekend that all the teams and drivers are going into where we know what's going to happen from, well, not...
From a regulations point
of
view.
Yeah, not results necessarily, but regulation. We know how each session's sort of going to pan out, and then we know when the qualifying is and what format it is, and then we know what race... Yeah, what race length we're going to have, of course, unless we have an aborted start or anything ridiculous like that, but that's negligible.
Yeah.
Personally, I think Lewis Hamilton, if he's going to mount a fight back, is going to have to start it now.
Well, he said that he's got no more jokers to play this season. That was his quote from after China. And he needs a strong weekend.
He needs to win, and I think he needs to dominate it.
Yeah.
What he really needs to be able to do is master starting on that single clutch, because he's gone backwards.
Yeah.
Since Belgium last year, and I keep saying this, if he gets pipped at the start again, he's going to struggle. And one of these days, it will be a Ferrari that pips him at the start and stays there.
Yeah.
Because I think they're on double secret probation now about getting the strategies wrong. Especially after colliding with each other in front of the big boss.
Mm. Is it looking like three world championships in a row for Lewis Hamilton is too much to ask for?
At the moment...
Too early to call, but...
Yeah, because if you think about the race results, at least two of the first three races, he didn't have much of a say in what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially in China, he had a quite difficult race. It was the seventh he ended up finishing.
Yeah. But I don't think in any of these races Rosberg's been handed a win.
Do you think so? I think he's been handed all of them.
I think Ferrari handed him a win in Australia.
Yeah,
Ferrari handed him a win, and then Hamilton's essentially been took out of the game.
I think he was strong enough into that first corner to be beating Hamilton in every race.
And that comes back down to Lewis Carr's start.
Yeah, I think he was strong enough into the start, but... I think
it's been made a whole lot easier for him. You can't deny that.
I think we've seen when Lewis has had not the last race, obviously, because his car only had three wheels, no front wing, and I think half the engine had fell off it. But the race before, Lewis had better pace. He had, when he was behind, you could see he was slowly catching him. So I think Lewis had the race pace to beat Rosberg in every race this year.
He's just not had the luck.
He's
had Rosberg's luck, Webber's luck.
Yeah. I think he could have won it. To clarify that, with a perfect working car and everything being equal, if he'd have got off the line even behind Rosberg, I think he could have won every race from second place.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree.
Well, you don't have to be right all the time. Sometimes you're just going to have to be wrong.
Sometimes you can just be Lee.
What do we think Ferrari are going to do this weekend to address the issues that they've been having?
Not be on fire.
Is a good start.
Not be into each other in the first corner. Mm-hmm. Sending one of their drivers drifting around the first turn.
Yeah. Well, that was totally Kvyat's fault.
Oh yeah, for trying to overtake
for racing.
Yeah. What were you doing, you lunatic? Of trying to overtake you. Well, you made me crash into my friend. Well, maybe you should watch what you're doing and not what I'm doing.
Stop hitting yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you hitting yourselves? Just stop it.
Just turn around. Do you understand how awkward it's going to be between me and Kimmy? He doesn't speak at the best of times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Just get an even frostier silence out.
Yeah.
Just standing there glowering over his can of Iceman long drink.
Yeah.
We mention that a lot. We maybe should get sponsored by him.
Iceman Long Drink.
Yeah, you can buy it anywhere that isn't a Finnish ferry.
Right.
but yeah, they need to... they've been told they've got to book their ideas up.
Yeah, I'm also wondering, given the fact that it's been Rosberg since the beginning of the season, when we're going to see another team win a race. Because it will happen. And we were just discussing before, Dan, will it be Red Bull, Ferrari... We thought Williams might be in the mix. Williams don't appear to be in the mix at the moment.
All Williams Ferrari are doing is slowly, season by season, proving my point on their first. Where they were second to Mercedes, and I said a few years ago they were only second to Mercedes because everyone else has fucked up. Every season now, as they're dropping further and further back towards midfield, they're just making Lee feel even better about himself.
Yeah, Ferrari are looking like the most likely of teams to win a race other than Mercedes. They can take the fight to Mercedes.
I think Red Bull or even Toro Rosso could.
Ferrari just got it a little bit wrong at times so far, but.
I mean, how much of an embarrassment would it be, though, for Ferrari if Toro Rosso get a win before they do, using last year's engine?
That would be incredibly embarrassing for both Ferrari and Red Bull, so.
It's also incredibly unlikely.
I don't know.
Toro Rosso got a win before Red Bull did.
Yeah, but I don't think that car's quick enough, and I think it's going to get worse as the year goes on.
Is it not the fastest car through the slow corners?
Toro Rosso?
Toro Rosso.
It's the slowest on the straights.
Red Bull's the fastest in the slow corners.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's the slowest on the straights, the Toro Rosso, according to Toto Wolff.
And his GPS.
And his mobile phone.
But that's what
I was watching on Google Maps, and I saw that Max Verstappen was much slower than everyone else.
Oh, yeah, but don't forget, Toto speaks German, naturally, so it's not his mobile phone, it's his handy.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What?
Mobile phone in German, the Germans and Austrians call it a handy.
That's pretty handy here.
Yeah, but that's what that's called.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, but they're handy everywhere. They're handy when I go to the shops, handy when I go to the pub.
But that's what they actually call them, handy.
I think he's just being deliberately Lee.
Deliberately?
How do we think McLaren are going to fare this week?
McLaren? Hopefully well, probably not.
Spontaneous combustion, slip into a black hole, who knows?
Well, spontaneous combustion, that's Ferrari.
Yeah.
Alonso ends up in the sea.
Yeah. Any sort of combustion from a Honda engine would be okay.
Yeah. Alonso ends up in the sea, Jenson Button retires, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Isn't Alonso retiring this year?
Ah, well, that's another. that's for another podcast.
Sauber, are they going to get there?
Nope.
Are they going to get what to Russia?
They'll
get to Russia.
We'll see them at the start line.
Yeah.
They might not be allowed sandwiches.
Yeah.
I would be quite alarmed if they did a parade lap. You know the formation lap. And then both cars pulled into the pits at the end of the formation lap. Then I would start ringing alarm bells along with the rest of the world. Sauber are losing their position in Formula One. Everybody out.
Well, it's kind of happened before. Because remember when Arrows folded? I think it was at the French Grand Prix.
They did.
Both
exactly
drivers
that.
Went out for the one shot qualifying lap and crawled round.
Yeah.
And didn't set a time. Got the money for turning up because they'd taken part in qualifying and then didn't race.
Yeah.
And then we never saw him again.
No.
Really? I can't remember that.
Yeah. It was when Frentzen was driving for him.
Was that back when Arrows had Repsol on the side of it as well?
It was Orange Arrows.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's that dire for Sauber yet. They are apparently looking at restructuring their financial issues.
Yeah, but it's still not good news for a team like Sauber to, you know, we're wondering whether or not they're going to get to Russia. Of course, Russia was the last Grand Prix we saw the old Marussia team in before they went away and then came back as Manor.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. You know, we don't want a repeat of Russia being the last Grand Prix for teams.
That would not be fun. Force India, they've been threatening this season, but they've not massively delivered.
For points, I think they probably score some points. Both drivers, I would imagine, getting the points in Russia. But we'll see.
Well, I think the problem with Russia has been before, it's all come down to qualifying because it is fairly processional and there's not a great deal of overtaking.
I'd argue that they've dropped back down past McLaren now.
Force India. Yeah, they're around about sort of McLaren area.
I think they're closer to Sauber than they are to McLaren.
Possibly, yeah. That's not an unfair thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Could be. The other perennial slower team at the back, although only 50% slow these days, of course, is Manor.
I'm all for Manor now. I've face turned on them.
Yeah, because they're at the back of the grid. Actually, at the back.
Yeah.
Not racing.
They're in the race.
Yeah, they're not racing by themselves.
And it hasn't hurt the fact that they've got a proper driver in one of the cars.
Yeah, one of the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one that's got the
money. Go on, Rio!
The one that's got the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see the man as 21st and 22nd again. I think we'll see Wehrlein higher up than the last row.
And
yeah.
Of course, we've not mentioned the Americans. Haas.
I was getting around to that.
Yeah.
Will we see them getting back to point scoring ways?
Yeah, I think we will. Grosjean rediscovering the form that he found in those first two races. Gutierrez just needs a bit of any sort of luck really to go his way.
A kick up the Haas.
Yeah, or a kick up the Haas.
I'm well in line with the idea that, as I said last week, the Gutierrez experiment might not be working.
No, we'll send him to Ferrari for a year, and then we'll have him. Yes, this is a great plan.
Who'd have thought taking a Formula One driver that wasn't particularly good out of Sauber, not letting him race Formula One cars, and then putting him back in a Formula One car? Who'd have thought that wouldn't work?
Yeah, well,
maybe that's how you build world champions, isn't it?
Didn't Grosjean perform not particularly well, apart from the spectacularness. Then spend a year not driving a Formula One car, and then
no, at least he was driving a GP2.
Well, no, yeah,
because he went to GP2 and ripped it apart, didn't he? Then came back to Formula One.
Yeah, I suppose
he only stepped in when Piquet did his deliberate crash.
Yeah.
Jarek Vern for Haas next year.
I would like this year. This year, please. I think he's a much better driver than Esteban Gutierrez. I don't dislike Gutierrez. He just needs something to happen for him.
I do. He comes across as being a bit.
Whereas Grosjean is loving it. He's loving this Haas Formula One experience. And
there's a face turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
Grosjean.
He's bought the whole package.
Yeah, and he's fully into it and justified as well.
It's probably what he can do. Yeah, okay, it was by dint of strategy that he got the points in Australia, but the Haas strategy team
got it right.
As we said, the strategy was right, but for him to do that, he must drive the wheels off that car. Mm. You know, I see Gene Haas had turned around in the media as well and said that if Ferrari did come knocking, he wouldn't stop the move.
I don't think he's allowed to, is he?
Snack privileges or something.
Yeah. And what about the Grosjean's former team, now known as Renault again?
The team formerly known as Lotus.
They really did show the pre-season testing promise in the last race, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, K-Mag's admitted that they've got a lot of work to do.
He's looking old, by the way.
In one picture.
No, Dan, but you're only as good as your last picture.
K-Mag, you're very good right now.
So when did we turn into the Formula One version of Heat Magazine?
By episode 3.
K-Mag is looking old. I want to know what his diet is.
Unfortunately, we can't put an official picture of it because Renault haven't actually answered the email to send us the password to access their photo library for editorial use yet.
Yeah. Next week.
Next week.
Formula One drivers and the cellulite they hide.
Who was pictured with Max Verstappen on a beach in Spain?
Bernie Eccleston.
I was going for his dad, because his dad's an expert on gravel.
Well, he is pretty good.
Was he been hanging out with Rio?
No, not dancing on the sand.
That wasn't where I was going.
No, but I just headed you off at the pass just in case you were going somewhere I was worried that you were going.
Enough.
K-Mag said they've got a lot of work to do. Jolyon Palmer hasn't really had a great deal to say.
He's not had a great lot to do so far this year. It'd be a great first race to finish just outside the points.
And even his dad's not been saying a great deal.
No, which is unlike Jonathan Palmer, not to say very much.
Yeah, he usually has a lot to say about everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's relevant or not is another question.
He needs to get on top of it now, doesn't he? Again. And have another race where he beats Magnussen, I think.
Yeah. Another Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing is with the Renault, you've seen that the engine with the right package has got the power just from what Red Bull have done.
Mm.
But
no, they're driving with a tag engine.
Oh, yes,
it's completely different.
It's completely different. It's completely different. Yeah. You can see what that style of engine has done.
they don't even refer to it as an engine. It's always just the power unit.
The tag power unit. Probably going to the Red Bull garage and you just see this sign saying banned words, engine, Renault, anything in French.
Ironic, isn't it, really? The fact that they've took the tag off the engine.
Oh. Puntabulous. I think I'm about done with Renault now. What we're going to see from Toro Rosso then?
A win.
I actually, my bold prediction is going to be a Toro Rosso podium in Russia.
There's lots of people more likely to get on the podium.
Yeah, but if we have an incident-packed race, which we might not, it might be boring and processional. An incident-packed race, I'm going for a Carlos Sainz podium.
Processional race.
Processionally professional.
Then I think Max Verstappen would be in with a chance of moving up quite a long way on the field. He is pretty much king of overtaking where you can't overtake.
Yeah. Mad Max.
Why hasn't somebody said that yet?
I'm sure lots of people have said that.
Yeah, not on television.
I think they probably have.
Have they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bound to have.
Okay.
Probably around about Monaco last year. should we do some bold predictions then?
Mine is Carlos Sainz podium.
Yours is Sainz podium?
Yeah.
I'm going for, same as I did last time actually, and see if I can be proved right this time. Double points for Haas.
Kimi win.
Ooh, I like that. Bold prediction, double McLaren points.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I like that idea.
As a concept, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
However.
Yeah. is a concept, me flying to work tomorrow would be grand.
What's your bold predictions, listeners?
Yep, tweet us on @3legs4wheels or drop us an email on 3legs4wheels@gmail.com or leave a comment on the website. Let us know your bold predictions. And of course, don't forget to keep adding to the Your Voice in F1.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we'd still like to hear from all of you and hear what you've got to say. And Lee is putting his list together.
Yeah, like Father Christmas. I'm checking it twice too.
Yeah, do we know who's on the naughty list yet?
Lee is definitely on the naughty list. He's on his own naughty list.
Yeah, when he's naughty, he gets a Jacques Villeneuve CD for Christmas.
Jeez.
And a lump of coal.
Well, at least I've got something to burn the CD with.
Yeah.
So we'll leave you with that this week. And we'll be back post Sochi. Hopefully we'll have an interesting race to look forward to and talk about. Me and Chris will be doing the live blog on Sunday afternoon UK time, or as somebody from the US tweeted last night, about two or three in the morning. But as I did point out to him, we had that in Australia and China. It's your turn now.
Yeah.
But enjoy the race this weekend and we'll see you next week.
Remember, I'm collecting idiots @Lee_Drummer on Twitter. Thank you.
He's got a big collection of idiots already that aren't even related to this podcast.
I just like to be amongst peers.
And if he sends you a YouTube recommendation, don't watch it. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.